Lord, what we want is to hear from you. And Lord, we want to give you this time, give you these words, and ask that you right now would fillet us like a fish, Lord. Lay us wide open. Wash over us with your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to yield to your lordship and to say, Lord, I want to be taught. Not just this, I've heard this before or something, but Lord, what do you have for me today? It'd be like hot, fresh bread from heaven that you would just break open unto us and help us to see what you want us to see, understand what you want us to understand, and to apply it to our everyday lives. We commit it into your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you mind reading Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7?
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons.
A few weeks ago we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In Genesis chapter 1, we find that God not only created the world, but he created man in his own image. In Genesis chapter 2, if you want to look at verse 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God said this, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We first find in chapter 1 where he is given a general description of making man. He described making the world, all the details of it, how he even spoke there was nothing, and God spoke the earth to come together, and then the seas. You know, first there was light, because God doesn't work in darkness. There was light, and then he brings the seas together, then he brings the land together, then he starts putting animals, and he does everything in order for 6 days. On the sixth day he makes man. On the seventh day he rests. And in chapter 2, he goes a little more into detail about man. It says he took the dust and he formed it into a man. And then he breathed into this dust the breath of life in chapter 2 and verse 7. And then it talks about that he, after that, how he took a rib out of the man, because he looked around and everything else on the planet had a mate, but there was not a mate for man. So God, being a need meter, when I talk to you about being a minister, that's what a minister is a need meter. God wants to meet others' needs through you. Somebody's hurting and you have compassion on them. You care for them. You go to them in the hospital. You take them food. You are meeting a need. So Genesis chapter 1, he made the world. He talked about he made man, but he just made mention of it that he made man. In chapter 2, he gave a little more description and explained it. It's progressive. When you read the Bible, it's progressive. You're going to get more and more as you read it. It's like it's light. It's like I told you, I go hunting, and when I go out there in the dark, you know, because I get out there to get in my tree, you know, get up there with my bow, waiting for the deer to come in. And you get out there when it's dark. If you wait till it's light, the deer seem to move like early in the morning, like, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever, right around light, and they like to move around that time. So if you're out there when you wait till it's light, then they're going to see you. They ain't coming in. So you go out there while it's dark. They hear you, but they can't see you. So they, and I've had them, I had one this year, at least one time, where I'm up in the tree and I'm sitting there and I'm looking, and when it's dark, if you've ever been out in the woods, I'm sorry, this isn't in my notes. I'm just throwing this out for you. This is free, okay? If you've ever been out there like in the morning and it's dark and your eyes play tricks on you, you're looking for deer and everything looks like deer. I mean, you know, you're looking around all the trees and stuff. You keep thinking, is that a deer? Is that a deer? And so I was sitting there, I remember, because I put some, my shoe's coming down. Okay, so I put some bait out there, and there was this place out straight ahead of me. And I was looking, and I kept thinking, there's a deer there. But it was so dark, and I thought, nah, that can't be a deer, that can't be a deer. And sure enough, when it got light enough, there was a deer feeding at the bait pile, and it was right out there, guy, I could see it. But that's what it's like when it's dark, and you have a flashlight, and you take that flashlight. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have fallen in the woods. Y'all heard my bear story where the bear came in, and it was dark, and I was trying to get out of there when my son-in-law came to find me, and I came running through the woods, and that's why they bought me a little, toy they bought me? Bulldozer. Because my son-in-law said it sounded like a bulldozer running through the woods. Well, if you'd had a big 500-pound-plus bear about from here to Muharram away from you, okay, and you're sitting on the ground with only a bow, and there's this 500-pound-plus bear, and as soon as somebody came in with a light, you'd be running too. Well, when I was running, I guess it sounded like a bulldozer. Well, my point is when you have a light and you're out in the woods, you shine it right down where you can see, because there's all kinds of shrubbery, brush, trees, fallen trees. And if you shine it out there, you're not going to see. You shine it right at your feet. And that's what this is. This, the Word of God is like a lamp. It says in Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as you read it, it will progressively take you further. It will help you to walk with God. You don't just get a general overview of stuff that doesn't help you in your everyday life. You need to shine right down where your feet are so you can see how to walk in the light. And then when you step in that light, it's like it's progressive. You holding the light, it's right here. And when you step into it, the light goes forward just like your foot, and you can see the next step. And that's exactly what happens with the Word. When you read the Word and then you obey it, God will give you more light. Just because you read or hear the Word, but you don't do anything with it, it doesn't help you. But you think, I already know that. But what good did it do you because you're not living it? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry, do you want me to say it again? Did you understand what I was saying? Oh, okay. I can say it again. I can say it four more times if you want. Okay? Because it doesn't do me any good if you don't get it. Okay? So we're going to do it one step at a time. Chapter 1, God is telling us about the creation of the world. And He tells us He made man, but He doesn't go into detail. Chapter 2, He goes into more detail. And He not just goes into more detail about the man, but into how He created woman. Okay? And made her out of the man. Okay, then in chapter 3, He talks about what's next, and that's fellowship with God, or God and man together. Because He just talked about how He made them, put him in the garden, told him to name all the animals and all of this. But in chapter 3, it talks about how he fellowships with man. Now, we talk a lot about that around here. We're a relationship church. We talk about having fellowship with God in your everyday life. How to hear His voice. How to see Him. How to hang out with Him. We're just praying with somebody. He said, Lord, thank you that I get to hang out with you. And so many of you have come and said that to me. By coming to this church, you've taught me. I've been in other churches, but by coming here, you've taught me how to hang out with you. See, it's hang out with Jesus. It's Jesus loves you, but He's not some abstract being up in the sky somewhere. He's right here. He's closer than your breath. Everywhere I go, I hang out with Jesus. You see, Jesus is my best friend. You may come and go. You may tell me you love me today and then tomorrow turn on me. But Jesus doesn't. Have you had anybody ever do that with you? They said they were your friend and then they turn on you? Well, guess what? We've all had that. Okay? What we want to learn, don't worry about that. I'm not going to trip on it. Okay? What we need to learn is how to be a faithful friend so that others can count on us, so that we don't turn on others. Because we've had that done to us. We don't want to do it to others, right? Amen? We don't want to do that to others. All right. So in chapter 3, I want you to see this progressive revelation of God. Now, somebody was asking me earlier, man, when I read the Bible, I don't understand everything. Probably every one of you have told me that at one time or another. But let's look at it real simple, okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, the devil, the snake, was more subtle. That word means crafty. It means deceitful. He was conniving, okay? He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I wrote on here, the serpent came to Eve, and he's going to come to you. Has the devil ever come to you? The devil ever messed with you? The devil ever tried to take you down? The devil ever told you, you're stupid, you're no good, you're not going to amount to anything? You know, we need to be careful how we talk to our kids, because they think about themselves what we say to them. That's why in our house, I told my kids, there was two words that were cuss words that had come out of a lot of people's mouths. In our house, there's two words that we don't ever use. One of them is the word, but. Okay? We don't never say that unless it's in the middle of a sentence. Like, I was going to go to the store, but I can't. Okay? But when we're talking about, we call it a bottom. We don't call it but. I don't like people using that word. We told our kids it was a cuss word. Okay? And the other word is stupid. Okay? Somebody could be dumb, but you don't got to tell them so. They're already getting it, you know. And if they don't, when they walk into the door, they'll get it. Okay? They're dumb. But you don't need to call people stupid. Okay? Don't ever call anybody stupid. Okay? Are you hearing me? You've never heard us call you that, and we don't want to call you that. We want to believe in you. We want to speak into the good in you. I think it was my dad that said, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most fools do. Okay? Anybody can see the negative. Let's speak into the positive. But what about when my kids are doing something that's dumb? What do I do? You know, you tell them, I know, I believe in you. You could do better, little Robert. I believe in you. You can step up. You see, you don't have to tell them, you're just so stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. Because then they're going to think that, and they're going to grow that way. Our God doesn't call that to us. But the devil, he does. He'll come and he'll accuse you. He'll run you down. He'll try to make you think bad of yourself, think you're a failure. And that's what the devil did. Is he came, I want you to see, the title of this whole thing is The Fall. If you ask anybody in Christianity what Genesis chapter 3 or Adam and Eve, what it talks about the fall of mankind. Why did mankind fall? That's what we're going to ask today. the fall. Why did they fall? Number one, the devil came to them, but he comes to everybody, but you don't have to fall. Okay? When he came to her, the first thing that he did, and just so you know that it's that he's going to come to you, in 1 Peter 5:8, if you want to write that down, it says, be sober, be vigilant. That means be looking around. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is the enemy of God. So that he's the enemy of anything that's right or light. Okay? That's the devil. He's the enemy of God. And so therefore, you're made in the image of God. Therefore, he hates you. Do you understand? He's going to try to bring you down. He was a created being, just like we're created beings. But he was created to be an angel, to be an archangel. He was created to be a worshiper of God. He led worship in heaven. If you want to know that, go look it up in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And you'll find two long passages about the devil when he was a worshiper of God in heaven, and then how God kicked him out. The devil will come to you, and he's going to try to tear you down. And I'm going to give you a little key right here of how to fight the devil. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. If you ought to memorize these two verses, because they ought to be something you do every day, all day. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, here's how to fight the devil. Submit yourselves therefore to God. God, I submit myself to you. Your way. I submit. You are my Lord. I'm trusting in you to defend me and take care of me. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Just because he talks to you, I don't know if you know this, but the only power, if you're born again, the only power the devil has in your life is a suggestion. He can only give you a suggestion. Back in the 70s, there was a stand-up comic named Flip Wilson, and he coined a phrase called, "The devil made me do it." Well, the devil can't make you do anything. All he can do is suggest things to you. And you get to choose who you're going to follow. You have a free will. And the devil can't make you do anything. Just like God won't make you do anything. God comes to you and goes to speak to you. Al, I want you to do this. Grace, I don't want you to do that. But your choice. You get to choose. He's not a bully. He doesn't make you choose. Well, the devil can't make you choose either. But what he does, he comes and he tempts our flesh, what we want, because we have a fallen nature. But Adam and Eve were perfect. And when the devil came to them, he tempted them. I'm going to show you why they fell. And I'm going to show you why a lot of us fall and why we don't have to if you just get your eyes open today, okay? But let's go back to James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. First step. I submit myself to you, God. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want your way in my life. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Not what I want. What do you want? A simple dictionary definition of God is, what is number one in your life? If what you want is more important than what God wants, then you're your God. Because you're worshiping yourself. Okay? In your will. So submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. All he's doing is giving you a thought. Yell at somebody. Say certain words or actions while you're driving and they're in your way. They cut you off and stuff. Think bad thoughts. Take something that's not yours. Look at something you shouldn't be having your eyes on. That's just a thought the devil put in your head. Resist the devil. And the word promises, and he will flee from you. I hear myself saying this through the day. Devil, I don't want you. I only want my wife and Jesus, and I want everything about Jesus, and I want nothing to do with you. And oh, I call him snake breath, because he's a serpent. So I call him snake breath. Oh, snake breath has to leave. He has to flee. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But then you got to do the next step, otherwise you're going to fall. It says now, draw nigh, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You see, you can't just say, I don't want the devil. You got to fill that void. One time I dealt with a young man, and he was into Harry Potter. And God had me challenge him in a way, and he came back the next week after doing a study on Harry Potter in the internet, because his mom wanted me to get him out of Harry Potter, and I'm like, she just introduces me to him, and right before she introduces me, she says, I want you to get him out of Harry Potter. Now, here's my son, get him out of Harry Potter. How do you do that? I don't have no crystal ball. I'm not some magic guy. I don't have no power to go making somebody change their life. And I said, Lord, how can we help this young man? And he said, ask him if he reads the internet or does the internet. And I asked him, and he said, yes. And I said, are you into Harry Potter? And he goes, yes. And I said, have you ever looked up? I said, can I challenge you to look up Harry Potter on the internet? And he gets this big smile on his face, because here's a preacher telling him to go look up Harry Potter on the internet. And he gets all excited. And I said, but instead of looking up Harry Potter and the good stuff, what it says about him, why don't you go look up why people are against Harry Potter and look that up? And when you look it up, would you print it out for me and bring me the study so I could see what people have to say against Harry Potter? Because I've never studied against him. I just know it's demonic, so I don't have nothing to do with it. But I said, bring me your study. A week later, he brought me 3 studies. They were about that thick altogether that he had printed out. And I said, what did they say? Well, they're against him. I said, well, what do you think? He said, I think I shouldn't have anything to do with him. And I said, so what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to quit having anything to do with him. Now watch, he had a void in his life. He had been given over to Harry Potter. The dude looked like Harry Potter when I first met him. I thought he was the same kid on the book or whatever, you know. He looked like him. And he had a void in his life. You can't just kick Harry Potter out. You got to now fill him with something. I said, God, what do you want to fill him with? He said, me, of course. I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, no, I've wanted to. I tried. I picked up the Bible and made about Genesis chapter 1 or 2. And he said, no, I didn't get past that. I said, well, let me help you. I said, I've helped a lot of people to read this Bible from cover to cover. And I shared with him how to do that. And he started reading the Bible within just over 2 months. He read the whole New Testament. He did more than I asked him to do. But he was so given his life to Harry Potter. When we got Harry Potter out of his life, we needed to fill the void. So we need to fill the void. When the devil comes to you, you see, your life is either going to be in light or in darkness. Truth or lie. Life or death. God or the devil. So when you resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. But now you need to turn to God and fill your life with God. You got me? James 4, 7 and 8. Okay? And in John 14, 30, this is just for those of you who want to go even a little bit further. Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. You see, I don't even want to give the devil any place in me at all. So if something comes in front of my eyes and I feel like I shouldn't be looking at this, I turn immediately away. I don't want nothing to do with that because I don't want him to have any place in me. The devil will come in by degrees if you let him. People don't just fall into sin. They walk into sin one step at a time. Okay? I want you to look in verse 1. And the devil, the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Immediately, the first thing the devil did was he questioned the word of God. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you question the word of God? See, why do you believe what you believe? What is the foundation of your beliefs? Is it through the smorgasbord of different thoughts that you've heard through life? And I like this one, and I like, oh, I don't like that one, and no, that one messes with my life, so I don't want that one. What is the foundation of your belief? Why do you believe what you believe? Your mom told you something? Your dad told you something? You need to obey your mom and dad, but guess what? They're not God. Just because they say it doesn't make it right or wrong. Right?
Right.
Right. That's why we as parents, we're responsible. We're not going to be perfect. We need to tell our kids as best we can. And that's what I like that most parents do, is they try to help their kids so they have a better life than they've had. Okay? So we try to tell them the truths that we know. But we got to base it on something. That's why I base mine on this. I told you I got saved as a drug dealer. And though my folks had taught me to be moral and a hard worker, make straight A's in school, I was on my way to hell. My life was terrible. I didn't know how to handle problems. I didn't know how to handle discouragement. I didn't know how to handle life. And when I met Jesus, I met him through reading this book and then knocking on somebody's door and asking them to tell me how to get to Jesus. And when I met him, it's like all I want to do is I want to do everything God's way. So I just started reading this book more and more because I want to know, what does God have to say of how to live? What does God have to say of how to live? Notice what the devil did. First thing he did was he questioned God's word. Yea, as God said, and that's what the devil's going to do with you. He's going to question you. I'm going to ask you a question. Why was she even listening to him? Who are you listening to? If you've ever worked in a factory, I used to work at GM, I've worked in other factories. You've got so many people in there full of opinions, got all kinds of ideas. Why are you listening to them? They just give you a bunch of stinking thinking. Why are you listening to them? You got to be careful who you listen to. It's going to affect the way you think. Why was she listening to him? Notice the serpent's tactics. He found her alone. Actually, her husband was with her, but we'll talk about that in a minute. He found her alone. Basically, he just dealt with her in her mind, and she just thought these things in her mind. He questioned God's word and God's ways. Verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then the woman was on the defensive. She's trying to explain God. I can't even, some of you come to me asking me questions about God. Why does God do this? Why isn't this happening? Why does this happen? I don't know all the answers, but I don't try to defend God. He doesn't need defending. I try to help you understand how to walk through it, how to trust in God while you're walking through it. I'm not going to explain to you everything that God does. I don't even understand everything God does. There's a lot of things He's doing stuff in my life right now. I go, God, I tell Him this almost all the time, almost every day. God, I don't know what You're doing in my life. I don't know why You're doing it. But God, I know You. And I know that You are right. You are holy. You have my best interest at heart. You have a plan and a purpose for my life. I'm doing what You want. So I choose to trust in You, God, and Your word. No matter what I see, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, and no matter what everybody else says, I choose to trust in You. And I have peace with God all the time because I trust in Him. I walk with Him. But I don't understand everything. And here's the devil trying to get Eve to explain everything about God. Why is God doing this? Did God really say that? And she goes in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The devil's going to try to get you to answer questions. He's going to try to trip you up and get you to try to explain everything. You don't have to explain everything. You need to make a simple decision. I'm going to follow God, period. I'm going to obey. Because if you're not obeying, you're disobeying. Do you hear me? I'll just wait. If we're not obeying, we're disobeying. God had told them in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He said, of all the trees in the garden, He didn't say all the trees out in the desert. This was a garden they were living in. They didn't have to work at that time. Everything was provided for them. They were perfect. They were naked. And they were not ashamed, the Bible says. In verse 25 of chapter 2. They were naked and they were not ashamed. They didn't have sinful thoughts. They didn't have a fallen nature. They were free. They didn't have to work. Everything was provided for them. It was perfect utopia. But she listened to the wrong one. She let him question the one who had given her, who had made her and given her everything. And she listened to him. She, look at verses, we just read verses 2 and 3. I wrote this. Eve clearly knew what God had said. Eve, he said, did God say this? And she quoted almost word for word what God had said. She clearly knew what God wanted her to do. All she had to do was obey. She didn't have to explain why God said to do it this way. Just obey. Just follow. Just submit. Verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, the exact opposite of what God said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be like God, knowing good and evil. At that moment, they were innocent. They didn't know evil. They knew good. They only had good happening. They didn't know evil. But the devil said, basically, God's keeping something back from you. Have you ever thought that? You ever felt like God was trying to keep something back from you? Have you ever thought that as a kid when your parents said, you can't do such and such? But all the kids are doing it. Nope, you can't do it. Why, you don't love me. You won't let me have what I want. You won't give me what I want. Yeah. Have you ever acted like that? Any of you honest enough to admit that? I saw those three hands. Okay. Rest of you just keep hanging out. We're going to help you to get honest. Okay. You see, that's where all of us have been. We've all thought somebody's holding back from us. They tell us, no, you don't love me. My kids must have said that to me a million times growing up. But Dad, everybody does it. And I would look at them and say, I know five who don't. It was my five kids. I said, the whole world can do it, but I know five who aren't going to do it. But Dad, the church kids do it. Uh-huh, but I know five that aren't going to do it. I wasn't trying to keep something back from them, but I could see things and know things that they didn't know. They weren't foreseeing. All they're seeing is the bright lights, and I want to go play and go do whatever the other kids are doing. But I could see what was going to happen. I was trying to protect them. But the serpent, in verse 4, accused God of lying and holding back on them. He says, you're going to see what you can't see now. That's true. They were going to see evil. Before that, what if you never saw evil? What if you only saw good? What if you were perfect and you didn't think in an evil way? Or do you like having that evil part too? I'm sorry? Wouldn't it be good if we did, if we could be perfect? Wouldn't it be good if we could be innocent? Wouldn't it be good if we could be pure and clean? Wouldn't you like that? Amen. The devil said, you're going to see what you can't see now. You're going to become wise and powerful, just like God. And then that means you're going to be able to live forever, and you're going to be independent of God. And that he was appealing to something that she gave into to be independent so she could run her own life. That's how America, how we think. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I've often wondered, why didn't the guy say anything? If this old snake is talking, why didn't the guy say? Because he was having a talk with her, and though the man was there, he wasn't vigilant. He wasn't taking care of his wife. Husbands, you need to take care of your wife. You need to protect her. You need to watch out for her. God wants you to be, that's one of the definitions of the word husband. It means lover, provider, protector. You need to be her protector. Eve looked at the tree thinking, but while she was looking at the tree, which she had looked at before, now she's thinking Satan's thoughts looking at the tree. She had looked at it before and it was real simple. God said, don't eat it. It was that simple. Okay, I won't eat it. But now the devil's saying, if you eat it, you can get all these things. So she's thinking about what the devil said. Now she's looking at it. It's real simple. Don't do it. God said, don't do it. It's that simple. Don't do it. You remember that five words I told you really need to have in your life? It is not an option. There are some things that are not an option. If I go into somebody's house to do a tub and they've got money laying on the counter, it is not an option for me to pick it up and stick it in my pocket on the sly. Do you understand? It's not an option to steal. Are you in agreement with that? It's not an option to steal, is it? If I see a woman ain't got enough clothes on to make a good eye patch, in other words, she's not wearing very many clothes, it's not okay for me to look at her and think things or even touch her. Is that right? It's not an option. I can't hear you. It's not an option. Okay? There's many things in life that are not an option. But when we think there's an option, that's when we get in trouble. It's real simple. Obey. Do what's right. Turn from it. I don't want that, remember? Submit yourselves to God. God said, this is right. I'm going to do this. Devil, I don't want you or anything to do with you. Jesus, I want you. Would you come? I just want your ways. And then He comes and fills you up and you think on Him instead of thinking on what the devil's trying to tempt you with. She looked at the tree while thinking Satan's thoughts. So she disobeyed God. She took the fruit. She ate it. And then she gave to her husband. That's what happens. Whenever we do bad, I don't know if you'll realize this, think about it in your own life. Whenever we do bad, we normally take somebody with us. We take somebody else down too. We don't just hurt ourselves, we hurt other people in our lives. She independently, I want you to get this, she independently made her decision. She didn't consult with her husband, who was her authority and her protection. Okay? So, if, I'll use you as an example. So if Stephanie was Eve, and the devil is trying to tempt her, she should have turned to Robert and said, Robert, here's what this serpent is saying. It sounds good to me. What do you think? If he was a proper covering, he would say no, because that means we'd have to disobey God. And that's number one. We got to obey God. Okay? And it's like, he'd have told her, get away from that person. Get away from that snake. And that's what I've told my wife before. She's had women in her lives, and they're feeding all kinds of stuff into her. And I say, Sue, you could have that person in your life if you look at them as somebody that you're going to minister to. But you can't let them minister to you because they're full of darkness. I said, I don't throw people away, but you've got to look at how you're going to have a relationship with somebody. Everybody in your life, you either minister to them, they minister to you, or you minister with them. Everybody is in one of those three categories. When I say minister to, that means to help them. Either you're going to help them or they're going to help you. I've had people try to help me to do evil. They're not helping me, but in their mind, because they're following the wrong boss. Okay? So their way of ministering is to help me get closer to the devil. Help me to be more like darkness. Help me to be more evil. Do you understand? Everybody in your life, you either minister to them, they minister to you, or you minister with them. Where are they in your life? If there's somebody that you minister to, then you don't receive from them. Do you understand? You don't let them speak into your life. They have all their opinions and you just have to, you can let them say their opinions, but it's like, I can't trust you. I can't receive that. Do you understand? Am I talking over anybody's head here, or do you get this? You get what I'm saying? These are like simple, to me, simple principles that help me to live my everyday life. When I go to talk to somebody, did God put them in my life to help me get closer to Him? Because it's always about God. Did He put them in my life to help me get closer to them? Or did He put them in my life for me to help them get closer to God? Or did He put them in my life so that we're going to minister together to bring other people to God? Why is this person in my life? And a lot of the people when I worked at GM, they were not somebody that was put there to help me get closer to God. The devil had them in my life trying to get me closer to Him. So I want you to notice that Eve did not consult her husband. God puts people in our lives to help us, to protect us. We need accountability partners. Like I need to talk to Robert, or I need to talk to Muharram and say, hey, I'm making a decision here. Tell me what you think. Would you pray for me? Would you care? I believe you have wisdom of God. Would you pray? Would you advise me? Do you follow what I'm saying? You have people that you listen to, that you let speak into you. But I don't just tell everybody when I was at GM, tell everybody what I'm thinking in my business, because man, they're so full of opinions and ideas, but most of them are not God. And they don't walk with God. They're not following God. God is not their life. Why do I want to follow them? They're not going to get me. They're going to take me to a different goal, because their goal is not God. My goal is God. Verse 7, in the eyes of them both, they just got through eating the fruit, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now folks, these two innocent people were naked for quite a while, and they didn't have a problem with it, because they didn't have any evil inside of them. But now that they disobeyed God, they just made a pact with the devil to disobey God. They allowed sin in their lives. Now they're naked, and when they look at one another, oh, I'm naked! And so they went, and they took, it says fig leaves, and they sewed them together and tried to cover themselves up. I'm going somewhere with this that I hope y'all are going to end up seeing when we get down to around verse 21. When it says, God made them coats of skins to cover their nakedness. You see, God has a way for us to be clean. God has a way for us to be covered. And that's through the blood of Jesus. The reason that you like being around here, the reason that you like hearing the things that we talk about and whatever and associating with us, is because we teach, anybody here that ministers knows, you've got to keep yourself clean with God. And that's through the blood of Jesus. You keep your focus on God. You hang out with God. You become like Him by hanging out with Him. And when you mess up, when you do something you shouldn't, because none of us, I sin every day. I don't want to sin every day, but I sin every day. What do? I immediately run back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's me that caused your pain. It's me that caused you to be crucified. It's me that caused that crown of thorns. It's me. Jesus, please forgive me. And He says, just like that, Harvey, you're forgiven. Harvey, it's clean. Now, Harvey, I'm going to begin dealing with you to bring whatever that root is inside of you of why you're doing what you're doing and begin to help you so we can dig around that thing and get the root, get that tree that's inside of you right down to the roots and pull all those that root system out so it won't bring forth any more fruit in your life. Does that make sense? But it starts with the blood of Jesus. Now, when I try to cover my sin, I do something wrong and just say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to just try doing better. When you do that, you're trying to cover your own sin and you never feel right. You still feel guilty. I don't feel guilty because I brought it and said, Jesus, I'm guilty. And he said, I know. And I said, would you please forgive me? And he said, yes. I'm going to introduce a thought to you. Did you know that God doesn't forgive people because they ask God to forgive people? Did you know if you come to God and say, God, please forgive me of my sin? And he says, I can't. Because you haven't brought the right offering. God, would you forgive me for Jesus' sake? He said, you brought the right offering. Every sin has to be paid for. Jesus is the only acceptable offering. Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Yes. Okay, then kill me. Because that's what Harvey deserves. The wages of sin is death. So they killed Jesus. My sin killed Jesus. He died. They took his body down from the grave, from the cross, and they buried his body. 3 days later, while his body's in the grave, he stands before the Spirit, the real Jesus, stands before the Father and says, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Will that settle his sin debt? Will that pay it in full? And the Father said, what you did, Jesus, your blood will pay for his sin in full. And so he reached over, God reached over and picked up the body of Jesus from the dead and raised it and made it live. You see, the only thing that will pay for my sin is the blood of Jesus. Not me doing better. Not me promising to do better. Not me trying to be a nice person. Well, I try to be nice. When Harvey comes to the subway, I put extra little things on his sandwich. I smile at him. Hi, Harvey. You see what I'm saying? It's not us being nice. If you could get to heaven by being nice, then answer me one question. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? If you could get to heaven by being nice, why did Jesus die on the cross? The devil came, tempted Eve. She didn't listen or talk to her husband about it. She made her own decision, took her husband down with her. These people were pure in their heart, mind, and understanding. But as soon as they disobeyed God, their conscience was defiled, sin entered into their heart, and now their eyes were opened, and they started seeing through sinful eyes. And because they were naked, before that, it was fine. But once they, because like, there's mostly adults in here. If I'm with my wife and she's naked, we're going to make love. I can look at my wife. There's no sin. I don't have sinful thoughts. But if there was another woman, whether it's on the video screen, whatever you call that thing, the monitor, your internet, or in a book called a Playboy or Penthouse or something, if I'm looking on some, or some woman walking somewhere and she ain't got enough clothes on, or she's got her clothes on, it looks like she's got them tattooed to her body. I don't even have to wonder what her body looks like because everything fits like a glove. Then I have sinful thoughts. Do you understand? Adam and Eve were perfect. They had no sin. But when they disobeyed God, sin entered into them. They began to think different. They looked at each other different. They realized we're naked and they were ashamed. So they went and tried to cover themselves. I'm going to stop here. I'm not done, but I want to stop here because I just want to talk about this one thing. I want to help you learn how to live every single day without being ashamed. I want to teach you and help you to live so that every day you could look God eyeball to eyeball, you and God, and have confidence in Him. I'm going to stop here, but I'm going to read, I think it's the next verse or two, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the Word of God walking. They heard the Word of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When you're ashamed, if I go to talk to you, many of you, if you've been around, you know I ask questions all the time. And one of the questions I ask you, I got it from God. Because God done it. You can read the very next verse and God said, "Hey Adam, where are you?" He wanted Adam to know he was hiding. But he wanted Adam to admit he was hiding. Because Adam knew he was hiding. But he wanted Adam to admit he was hiding. Because when I go to ask you questions, many times you have looked away. Because you don't want to answer me. You don't want to answer the questions I ask you. But I ask you questions because I want to help you so you don't live in shame. I want to help you so that you can have confidence with God. I want to help you so that you don't feel like you have to hide. And the simple way to do that is when you have sin, a sinful thought, a sinful word, a sinful action. When you have sin, immediately bring it to the cross of Calvary and say, "Jesus, it's me. I sinned. I'm the one who caused your pain. Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to sin, but I did. Will you forgive me?" And Jesus will wash that sin and He'll begin to cleanse your heart and He'll take away the shame because He took your shame upon Him. It was shameful to hang on that cross. He took your shame upon Him because He doesn't want you to wear it. He doesn't want you to be ashamed. When you walk in light, you don't have to be ashamed. When you walk in darkness, it's like I used to tell my kids. I said, when they date, why do you think they do it in the dark? Because they're trying to hide something. Well, that's just when life begins, Dad. Really? I thought it began like when the sun came up, not when it went down. You know? I said, how come most of the world operates when it comes up? I said, if you're out in the woods, when it's dark, it's dead quiet. Nothing is making noise. When the sun comes up, all of a sudden you start hearing the birds. Keep, 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 burp, burp, chirp, chirp, all that, whatever they do. And you see little chipmunks running around and squirrels and the black squirrels chasing the gray squirrels. And the deer everything starts moving. The whole forest wakes up when the light comes up. It doesn't wake up when the sun goes down. That's when everything, if you come to my house, I got a salt fish tank, a reef tank. And I have my lights set up on timers. So then in the morning, they come up a little bit like this. And then a few hours later, they get a little brighter. And then at midday, they're like brightest. And then as the afternoon goes, they go down. And then when it gets to be about 10 at night, they shut off. You watch things in my tank, and they open up the more light. And then as the light goes down, they close up. That's how we are. That's how life is. the way to live in peace, the way to live in confidence, is to be open, honest, real, vulnerable, transparent, no hiding. Remember that verse, 1 John 1:5? It says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness. God is light. When the devil came to Eve, he got her to question God's word. You need to read God's word. And when somebody tries telling you something different, say, that may be your opinion, but here's what God has to say. Now you get to choose who you're going to follow. And then be careful who you listen to. But when you do wrong, admit it. If you go on reading the chapter, you'll see that immediately Adam, when God said, why did you do this? He said, well, I need to blame shift. It was my wife's fault. And when he asked the wife, why'd you do this? She said, well, the devil made me do it. Everybody was blame shifting. Not owning up. We need to own up. We need to get real. We need to be honest. When we sin, bring it to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Jesus, I don't want to do this anymore. And he said, I came to deliver you from the stronghold or the power of sin over your life. I came to deliver you. But it starts with you humbling yourself and coming to Jesus. And little by little, Jesus will walk you out of it where you start walking in righteousness. You start walking in the right way and you feel good about yourself because you can look God eyeball to eyeball. You're not hiding anything. You won't be living in shame. The fall. Why did they fall? We did verses 1 through 7. This week, why don't you go read Genesis chapter 3. Ask God to open it up. Remind you of things that were said today. God, how does this apply to my life? Because God, I don't want to be like Adam and Eve. I want to be the way you want me to be. I want to walk with you in the garden, not be hiding somewhere where you have to come look for me. I want to come to you, God, not run from you. We have sometimes some of our grown kids, they call us every day. Well, sometimes when they don't call us every day, we know they're doing some things they shouldn't be doing. Because when they get them out of their life, they start calling us again every day. Some of you have been that way. We go to deal with you, and you get some things in your life, and you won't call us. You don't want to come around us. See, I don't want you to live there. I want you to live with peace. I want you to live with joy. I want you to live with Jesus. Is that what you want? Jesus, that is my decision today. I want to live with you. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in light. And I ask that you would remind me of the things that were said today because I want them to begin to live inside of me. I don't want to just hear them. I want to live them. That's my choice today, Jesus. I'm asking you to come do that work in me. You are my choice. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me first. Amen.